Father, hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it is not about me. It is about you. It's about your plans. It's about your desires, about your word and your will, and about your truth. And may we obey you today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen and amen. Let me give you the word the Lord spoke to me today. I told you I loved you, right? And you love me. He says, America, you have been snake bitten. Paralyzed by the venomous bites of deception, you refuse to embrace reality. The poison has affected more than your head. Your heart is blackened by its power. Where is your remedy? Where is your rescue? You have none, for you have denied the power of my son. You have rejected the help of my hand. Therefore, you will wither and convulse in your pain. You chose this path, and you will embrace the cost of disobedience. You are snake-bitten, and your cure eludes you. You are snake-bitten, and you are delusional, and your eyes are growing dimmer. What will you do, America, when the poison of pride runs its course and devastation is left behind in its path? I tell you this day, you will return to the dust like the nations before who rejected me. Truth is your only antidote, but you have long rejected its healing power. This season of ignoring me and my prophets is over. Very powerful. Take it to the Lord in prayer, as in all words. Very powerful truth. The Lord has been speaking to the prophetic community. The warnings of the coming devastation of a nation that has been snake bitten, a nation that seems to live in the realm of denial. It amazes me, and I'm sure some of you had an opportunity to be with family this Thanksgiving and hang around folks that are of the different persuasion of the hour, prophetically, politically, societal, economical, whatever it may be, geopolitics, and they look at you with this glazed eye type of understanding and perception of the world that they're in when you begin to tell them the things that you know prophetically and the things that you've heard. And they just stare at you and they're in denial that this is happening. How many of y'all can testify the glazed look? The ham has about the same glaze as their eyes do on that particular day. But that is the reality that we're in America, because we have lived the good life for so long. We have partaken of the Kool-Aid of the world, and we have lived with the beasts long enough that we've become mesmerized and enchanted by the mantras of people who have been poisoned themselves and have been snake-bitten. Churches all across America will shuffle in, they'll turn on the lights, and they'll gather together, and the six-foot icicle will stand up before them, you know, Pastor Jack Frost. And he'll bring forth a word that is no more than pablum and baby food for a group of people who must be spoon-fed because they can't handle the meat of the word. And because of that, our nation becomes weaker and weaker. Our men become more effeminate. They become more backslidden. Our women become more stronger and dominant. And we find ourselves living upside down with the roots coming up instead of fruit. And that is America today. We're living upside down when we should be right side up with hands extended towards heaven, asking for his benevolence to be upon us and to thank God for every perfect and wonderful gift he has given. The title of this message is called Snake Bitten. Look at your neighbor and say, watch out. Snake Bitten. That is what the Lord spoke to me this morning, and he took me to a very familiar place, Jeremiah chapter 5. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 5. Again, I've told you, if you go to theological school or the seminary, they will train you how to exegetically dissect the Bible and how to be full of hermeneutics and all these different things, and how to wax elegantly and to be an orator, and on and on and on the garbage goes. and to preach in a specific book in a consistent manner, in a constant manner, is a taboo and a no-no in preaching class. But how many of y'all know we're not in class and we're not here to impress anybody? We're here to preach, thus saith the Lord. And I have given up a long time ago trying to figure out exactly what the man of mind wants. I just want what God wants. I just desire to hear what he has to say. So I make no apology. Are you in Jeremiah? I gave you enough time. Jeremiah chapter 5. Again, the title of this message is called Snake Bitten. Watch this, verse 1. Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. God is speaking to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, I want you to go through the streets. I've already spoke to you in chapter 4 about judgment that's going to come to Jerusalem. I'm already telling you what's going to come down. And when there is judgment declared, God will always send forth the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and to convince men of their sin. He will always raise up prophets of the last hour and the last days to bring forth a lightning laser type of message that pinpoints to the very problem and situation so that there is no mistake about it. When judgment comes, I have said this many times under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when judgment comes, God will be justified. This is why the repetition of these prophetic words and the continuation of the chorus line of the prophetic community speaking out in harmony and unity, the reality that God is dealing with America because of our sins, that we cannot go back to our forefathers and the fumes of grace and what they did in the former revivals and crusades and movements of God. We must have a current relationship with God. We must be on time with God. We must have our I's dotted and our T's crossed in our relationship with him. We must be up to date. But we're living in a time where we feel that we could live off of yesterday's victories. We can live off of what God did through men and women of yesterday and yesteryear, when the reality is God is dealing with you and he's dealing with me and he's calling us to a higher place. He's calling us to a greater relationship with him. He's calling his remnant to come out from among them. And the reason is because America is being judged. Verse 1. But run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. If there be any that execute this judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to go through the streets. I want you to even go to the broad places. And I want you to try to find somebody that is righteous. Somebody that follows the commandments of the word of God. Somebody that loves me. Somebody that worshiped me. Somebody that is upholding the law and the covenant and the things of truth that I have declared and decreed from my heart to the pen and the paper of humanity. Write it down. Make it plain for everybody to see the vision that I have of redemption. I'm looking, can I find anybody in righteousness? I believe God is doing the same today in America and around the world. He's looking for some that he can talk to, some that he can worship with, some that he can walk with, some that will talk with him, some that will have fellowship with him. Can I find somebody to do the right thing in America? Can I find a politician to do the right thing? Can I find a preacher, a priest, a prophet? Can I find a minister of the gospel? Can I find somebody who says they're a believer doing the right thing? If you can answer an affirmative that you are that one and you are a remnant, then that is fine. But there are too many that are out there that are not answering the call of righteousness and the call of covenant and the call of relationship. They're doing what they want to do and they're sitting in the house of God. We're living in a crooked nation, a perverse nation, and we know that. But God is saying, I want you to go through Jerusalem, my chosen city. I want you to go through the church. I want you to go through America and find me a group of people. Find me somebody that loves me. Find me somebody that doesn't cheat on their taxes or cheat on their tithe or cheat on their neighbor or cheat on their spouse. Find me somebody. It's becoming harder and harder in America to find people to do the right thing. No matter if it's in business or in politics or in the house of God or even just transaction between brothers and sisters, it's hard to find somebody that's not trying to screw up somebody else. And don't you know it's the truth? We're supposed to be people of covenant. We're supposed to be the most loyal and faithful to one another than any other people on the face of the earth because we made covenant with an almighty God. But you find gossip and backbiting and backsliding all in the house of God. But he said, I'm looking for some righteous. I'm looking for somebody who worships. I'm looking for somebody who does the right thing. It is the same concept when Abraham said, God, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God began with 50. Find me 50 righteous. God, would you not destroy it if you can find 10? I won't destroy it if I can find 10. We know the history. We know the understanding that it was destroyed because God could not find the righteous. I believe we're in that hour today in America where God is saying, where are the righteous? I am going to destroy the nation. I am going to bring the nation to its knees. I am going to lift up the skirt and you will see the nakedness of our nation. You're already watching the nakedness of our politicians. You're already watching the nakedness of our military. You're already watching the nakedness of the house of God. You're already watching the nakedness of our financial institutions, our educational institutions. Every single institution of America has its skirt lifted up, and the nakedness and the shame of it all is being shown to the nations of the world. Judgment is here. But can I find some righteous people? Can I find some folks that'll do right by one another, that'll love one another, that'll pray for one another instead of slandering and stabbing each other in the back? Can I get a witness, somebody? In this sanctified house. That seeketh truth. I want you to capitalize that. I want you to capitalize that and see that and highlight that. That seeketh the truth. We live in a generation and a time when it is easier to lie to somebody than to stare them down in the face and tell them the truth. It's easier to lie. It's easier to be deceptive and use manipulation. It is easier to listen to politicians that you know are crooked and know that they're wrong. It is easier to listen to their lie because of the poison of deception that is in our nation. It is easier to listen to a preacher who you know is living like a devil, who preaches like he does on Sunday, and all the mesmerization and all those mechanics of magical power. But yet they still believe the lie that comes out of the mouth of that mannequin. Are you in verse 2? And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. Again, God sends Jeremiah to Jerusalem as he's sending us to America and to the broadways and the highways and the places where people reside. And he says, I want you to tell them that I'm looking for righteous people who seek after truth. Not self-righteous, as verse 2 says, because in verse 2 they said he liveth was just a mantra of the mindset of Christian education that has been indelibly put in their mind and is far from their heart. So they mechanically speak forth what they know, but they don't believe. That's America. That's America, and that's most church people today who have the robotic ability to lift hands during worship and might even have the ability to write out a tithe. But the reality is that their heart is so far from God, their life is so far from Him, the desire and the passion and the hunger is so far from God. All they know how to say is, surely the Lord liveth. It's just like our backslidden family members and friends that we know, that we spend time with, people that we used to meet and hang out at the bar. You remember those who said they believed? Oh, I believe in God. You hear it all the time. I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I believe in this, while they smoke a cigarette in your face and blow the smoke all over your room or your car or wherever. And they have the outwardness of the world, but inwardly they say they love God. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all spent Thanksgiving meal with them. As soon as you said amen, they started cussing and talking about the game again. Are you in verse 2? I'm reading you the Bible. I'm giving you a prophetic temple of what the Lord is saying of this hour. We are a nation that says in God we trust, but we don't trust him, because you can't trust somebody unless you fully know him. And we don't know him, therefore we don't trust him. We just say that we know him because that's the right thing to do in a Christian nation. Well, I don't want everybody to think I'm completely full-blown atheist. I don't want everybody to think I'm a pagan. So, yeah, I believe in God. Even preachers will stand up and tell you they believe in God, and they don't even know the God they say they're preaching about. They don't even believe. They don't even spend time with the Creator that they say they worship. And you say, well, how can they stand in a pulpit? Because they can't get a job at Walmart. They can't get a job at McDonald's. They can't get a job anywhere else. So they stay inside the house of God and they deal with the insanity of religiosity and Christianity because they can't do anything else. I know I'm telling you the truth. It's the nature of America. It's the nature of a decaying, decomposing entity that we currently reside in. In verse 2 again, it says, and though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. God speaks through Jeremiah and says, you're a bunch of liars. Wouldn't that be a great service? You're a bunch of liars. Again, if it doesn't apply to you, just shake it off and say, yeah, you're talking about somebody else. We're going to pray for them, folks. But the reality is it affects many, many within the body of Christ. And God says, you're a liar. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? But this is America. It's a nation of liars. We've been snake bitten. We believe that we can do what we want because we've been born into a Christian family. We made one prayer one time. We made one raising of the hand, one commitment. We signed on one dotted line. We shook one preacher's hand. We gave one check. We did one act of obedience. We did something to soothe our conscience, but in reality, we swear falsely. We lie to God. That's why I have a hard time when politicians get up and say, God bless America, and everybody goes crazy. Or they have to have somebody stand up and declare and decree that they're Christian, and you don't even hear it come out of their own mouth, and everybody goes, woohoo, we got a Christian president, we got a Christian ambassador, we have a Christian, when the reality is they're nothing but liars. The day I need somebody to stand up here and tell you I'm a Christian, the day I need somebody to come up here and announce me as your pastor, there's something definitely wrong with me. Let me go to verse 3. O Lord, art not thy eyes upon the truth? Man, I'm going to be here all day. I can tell it. Look what he says. Art not your eyes upon the truth? Where is God looking at right now? Tell me where God is looking at. God is looking at truth. God is looking for truth. Where? Not in your mouth, but the inner part of your heart, where it's been written with the fiery finger of God upon that heart, where God says, here is truth. And when you have it written upon your heart, you will speak it with your mouth. And when you have it written upon your heart, you will live it, and people will see it, and they will say, that is a truth. Woman, that is a truthful man, that is a truthful church. I can trust them, I can follow them, I can be led through the valley of the shadow of death with them, because I know truth is in them, and truth is a light that will light every darkened pathway, and truth is the power that will break down every wall of deception. And truth you will know when you hear it, and it will set you free. He said, I'm looking for truth. He said, first, I'm looking for it in my people. I'm looking for it inside the body of Christ, but I can't find it. I can't find it in America. Can't find truth. You go to churches and all it is a bingo hall. It's a place for Amway and Tupperware and Avon and any other type of gimmick that is out there to make money. It's a bridal college. It's a stall where you find your next mate. Somebody better look at me and say amen, because that's the reality. You know it's the truth. It's something. It's like a flea market. It's like a bazaar. Yeah, it's bizarre. Is anybody here? Truth. He said, I'm looking for truth. Your eyes are upon the truth, verse 3. And thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. This is America. I'm looking for truth. You have stricken them, but they haven't grieved. We've gone through trial after trial and calamity after calamity and destruction after destruction and shooting after shooting and murder after murder and rape after rape and abortion after abortion and losing of wars after wars and all of the insanity of our country that is on a losing streak, and yet they did not grieve. I've told you time and time again from this pulpit, and I risk sounding like a broken record, but that is fine with me, because history will prove God right again, that the only thing that'll bring America to its knees is a financial holocaust, to where we have the money as an equalizer when we all come to that place where we need one another once again in the house of God and we seek truth. Because right now you can hightail yourself out of here if you got enough bucks to do it. Right now you can change anything in your life with money. Sad truth of the matter is there are many marriages that would not work. That would not work, that would be totally abandoned if he or she had the money to get out of it. Smile with your crooked fang. Because you know it's your truth. If I just had enough, I'm gone. A sanctified split, of course, by God, because, you know, Jesus, he's going to approve of it, right? Because you need a new life. That is funny, and it is tongue inside the cheek, and it's kind of humorous, but it is the reality, and it is a counsel that a lot of preachers give to people in the counseling rooms of broken marriages, and it is the mindset of many people. If I had enough money, I'd be out of here. But when this Holocaust comes, we're going to find out who's truly in relationship with God, who's truly in relationship with the church, who truly is a shepherd who loves his people. We're going to find out. You're going to see a lot of charlatans run out of the house of God. You're going to see people that have never really had an opportunity to preach, stand up, and lead congregations by the multiplied thousands, because they're true shepherds of the heart. They're Davids that have been in the backfields feeding the sheep. Moseses who have been in the desert and everybody overlooked them because they killed an Egyptian, which I had a witness somewhere. Watch this now. You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. Watch it again. You've corrected them. You brought all types of correction to them. You rebuked them. You reproved them. You did all these things, but they refused to return to you. Please, America, listen to me. Backslidden church, listen to me. This is America. This is exactly the prophetic word of the hour, that God has dealt with America. We've taken many blows, and we still shake it off and say, I'm stronger than I've ever been. We're going to make America great again. We're going to be an awesome nation. We're going to continue to march into the future in victory, and nothing shall destroy us nor derail us. My Bible says the opposite. My Bible says that God has afflicted us and God has allowed us to go through these things, and we have yet to return to him. We have yet to cry out to him. I'm telling you, when the financial holocaust comes to America, the heart of America will turn. The heart of America will change, and not the nation. But the people within who have an ear towards truth, who have a heart towards truth, they will listen to preachers once again. They will come into these places and these churches that are out everywhere in the outskirts of this nation, and they will once again come to the altar because they will come to the end of themselves. I truly believe man comes to the end of himself when he loses it all. Money is a hedge. Money is a buffer. Money keeps man away from God. Those of us who lived in our sinful days, when we had money, all that was fuel to go further. All I needed was just a little more dough. But America has been in this situation. If you'll stop for a minute and just get away from the surfeiting of the season and the Black Friday sales and all the garbage you went through, and think for a minute, all the things that we've gone through as a country, all the grieving that we've gone through, even recently, as we're watching viruses and diseases come into our country, and we don't even have the answer for it. Children dying of disease they don't understand and receiving paralysis and polio-like types of symptoms, and we don't have the answers because we have all the medications and all these huge hospitals and medical systems, and we still can't find out what's wrong. I'll tell you what's wrong. It's called sin. I'll tell you what's wrong. It's called a curse. It's going away from truth and embracing deception. And when you do that, it spawns disease. It spawns sickness and allows the gates of the enemy to be opened up and let him do what he wants to do and ravage a nation. And God says, you allowed it. Is anybody still here? I caused this to happen. I let it happen, but they won't return. Verse 4. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. And they are foolish. He's not just talking about money. He's talking about people poor in the spirit. Poor because you don't recognize and realize that God is dealing with a country. Poor because you're following a politician over to the edge of the abyss into the very deepness of destruction. Foolish because you're getting together with a bunch of Christian crusaders and musketeers, if you will, all getting together, banging the drum and sounding the alarms and rushing out to a parade. When the reality is we should be in sackcloth and ashes falling before God's throne and before his feet saying, God, forgive us of a nation. Forgive us for our cultic Christianity where we put a politician above the cross. We put a flag above the cross. We put our pledge allegiance to a nation above the pledge of allegiance to Christ. We're in trouble. And we won't return back to God. So God is going to judge us in a greater way. Verse 4, I will read it again. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they have known not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. They didn't want to know the way of the Lord. There's people who write me and they castigate and they get all mad and they get all upset and all this stupidity and they waste time and broadband space and all that they do. And the reality is this, you are poor because you don't want to read the truth. You are foolish because you won't spend time in the Bible and strip yourselves of all of your carnality and all of your politician plastic environment. And fall before the throne of grace and say, God, what are you saying in this hour? I promise you, he's not talking about re-election for 2020. I promise you, he's talking about souls right now that are perishing and going into hell as I speak. I am positive of the fact that he's calling out for a church to become the remnant, to become righteous, and to fall in love with truth and to seek truth no matter how much it hurts you, to follow it no matter how much fire and persecution and hatred did you go through. It is worth following the truth. Watch this. Verse 5. And I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of the God. Listen to this. Verse 4, he said, I'm dealing with all of these poor folk. I'm dealing with these, the poor in the spirit. I'm dealing with these not just in societal class and state of living, but I'm dealing with these that don't know the things of God. So I'll tell you what, I can't find righteous in the street and the broadways. So now I am going to go to this place and find the poor. I can't find it there. So now I'm going to step it up a level and I'm going to go to the great men. You know, the great men, the one that the church of Jesus Christ, the false church, you know, the church that idolizes. You know, the church that has billboards of the president who came as the word in the flesh. You know that one. And now a new one that shows him walking next to a lion and comparing him to the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's out there now that shows that he is defending our nation as a lion. Honey, there's only one lion of Judah. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You better rip that thing up into 1,000 pieces of nothing. You're foolish and you're poor. You talk show host, you conservative talk show host, you're foolish and you're poor for giving credit to a man for emptiness and a false progress. We've made no progress. And I will show you that momentarily. Because what God measures as progress is not the same what man says. Man says it's in nickels and noses and charts that can be falsified. God says it in truth. He says, I measure everything by truth. I measure every man by truth. I measure everyone by that word. You're not measured by how much money you have. You're not measured by your address or zip code or area code. You're not measured by how tall you are, how wide you are, how small you are. You are measured by the word of God, and before God you will stand and be measured through that righteousness. Every one of us, including this preacher right here. But the church doesn't believe that. Because if the church really believed that, we would not be giving God lip service. We would cry out to say, God, forgive us of our unrighteousness and our narcissism and all of our deception. Forgive us, God, for what we have done and what we're doing. We've cast wisdom and we've cast truth into the streets. And we've replaced it with charlatans and puppets. Watch what he says again. Are you in verse 5? And I will get me into the great men, and I will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. In other words, they left their first love. They left covenant. They left truth. They left their position. These great people, they became like the Laodicean church. They became the Laodicean generation. So full, so fat, so rich, so luxurious, so wonderful, so beautiful. But they were blind and naked and in want. I'll go to the great men. Let me tell you, when judgment's about to happen in the nation, when the poor and the rich are acting the same, both spiritually poor and supposedly super spiritually rich, when you find the same connection and the same line of agreement, you are in the midst of judgment. There's no other way. There's no other way to describe it. It is biblical. It is prophetic. It is a reality. And you can try to slice it and dice it and mince it up and make it to what you want it to be and cut and paste and have happy smiley emojis over here and try to fix this thing. You can't fix truth. Truth is truth and it will always be truth. Amen. And I'm reading to you the truth here, Jeremiah chapter 5. Went to the great men, and they are just like the poor folk. I went to the great specialist. I went to the great theologians, and I sat down and I had a conversation, a little bit of counsel with them in a fireside chat. And I come to the realization they just as broke as the poor folk. Foolish. This is why I say you can listen to these conservative talk show hosts, these Christian guys and gals and all these different ministries that are out there in YouTube world, and you listen to them and they promote the president, they promote politics and progress of political ideology and all these things that are on the plate of America right now. Instead of preaching the truth of Jesus Christ and calling men back to God and saying that we are in trouble because we have rejected and we have left truth, and realize and recognize that God is going to deal with both small and great. I can't stomach them. I don't listen to them no more. I don't have time to listen to the pablum. I don't have time to listen to the absolute garbage that is out there in the world. I really don't. Even church folks, even some prophetic folks, just a bunch of garbage, just a bunch of gargling down the same mess that the world is giving out. There's no difference. There's no difference in some conservative Christian talk show host and those that are out in the world in liberal media. It's all garbage. I want truth. I need truth today. Truth is your compass. You better get to truth. Stick in the Word of God. Stick to the truth of the Word of God. If you find somebody speaking different than the Word, shut them off. Get away from them. Don't let your brains be melted with the mantra of the current beast system. Yes, and it's in the church too. You better shut some of these folks off. Who do you listen to? Well, I got a good person to listen to. He's from Livonia, Georgia. But I tell you, somebody greater than him, you better listen to the Holy Ghost. You better read that Bible, because in your hand is a compass of life. Man is a liar, and man will fool you, whether intentionally or not intentionally, but that word will never fool you. Do I have a witness anywhere? So you see this with Jeremiah. He's on a travel. He's on a mission. He's going through the city of Jerusalem. He's looking like the eyes of God that go to and fro throughout the world, looking to bless, looking to prosper. The eyes of God that are always upon the sparrow and upon his children and upon the church and the children of light. He's looking, and he could not find him in the lower caste system. And he couldn't find him in the high places of politics and religion and philosophy. He could not find those that would walk in truth. How much is that evident today in America? Our theologians are nothing more than backslidden bartenders, strip club owners that give us a little bit of skin, a little bit of entertainment to keep us coming back into the house rather than holiness, righteousness, sanctification. Those are curse words in the modern church today. More worried about their bling and how much they have and all these things that are entrapments and enticements and these different things to bring people closer, not to the cross, but to a church building. Recently, a book came out by a backslidden, going to hell preacher who is involved in a gay relationship, and he wrote a book about holy sexuality, sanctifying homosexuality, in which God destroyed a nation, and Leviticus says that that is the only sin that he spews the people out for. Oh, but that was Old Testament. God got better when Jesus came along. You're foolish. You're foolish and you're poor to think these thoughts. You better think like God thinks. And the only way to think like God thinks is to get in the Bible and find out what he says. And quit listening to these freakazoids. Quit listening to these crazy people. Quit listening to these people that are in contrary to the Word of God, and they're contrary to nature themselves. But we're better than that today. We're more sophisticated and we're smarter now than the Old Testament prophets. We're smarter than Sodom and Gomorrah. We're smarter than God, and we're smarter and smarter and smarter. No, you're as dumb as a box of rocks, and you're going to hell. See, we don't hear that no more. Wouldn't that be a nice opening to a Christian television program? Good morning, you're going to hell. Caller number one, can I help you? Somebody said, well, that's brash. I'm just being funny. But I'm going to tell you, we don't do that no more. We don't talk about hell. We don't look at people in the eye and say, you're sinning, man. I love you, but you're going to split hell wide open. I love you. Well, I'm just trying to work on him. If you're working on him and he's at a bus stop, you may never see him again. Son, you are dying and going to go to hell. He's going to get off of the next avenue and you'll never see him again. See, it's time for Christians to stand up and be bold again and speak truth in love. Just say it in love. Just declare and decree, man, I love you, but I'm telling you, you're going to split hell wide open. But we're so politically correct. We're like, oh, well, you know, I might offend him, and I'm just sowing seed. I'm sowing seed by telling him you go to church or achoo, God bless you. Oh, nice seed. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. This Christian craziness of evangelism. Yeah, I shook their hand and, you know, I said, Jesus loves you. Well, yeah, Jesus loves you. We understand that. But you got to tell them the truth of what the condition of their hearts are, because you're competing with these people, like I just read to you, that are writing books that are infiltrating the body of Christ. I read it on a Christian website, and they used the word, a Christian pastor said, who wrote this book, I want to take a big X off of Christian and just put it right there on the website. That's an oxymoron. Somebody had to look that up. What's an oxymoron? He called me an oxymoron. No, you're a moron, and that's an oxymoron. To sit there and put Christianity, say he's a Christian pastor, a Christian teacher, and he's talking about homosexuality and how spiritual it is. You know, it's spiritual. You got a bunch of spirits hanging around you. I got to move on. Watch this. Are you there? But this is verse 5. But these have altogether broken the yoke, and they burst the bonds. Verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities, and every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. Why, preacher man, is God judging America? Because of our iniquity, because of our sin, because of people like that I just read to you, who tell us it is okay when God said it's not okay. And the Bible specifically says that outside the kingdom will be dogs. And you study it out and you read it and find out about homosexuality and the reality of it. You got a problem, you can be saved, you can be forgiven, you can be changed, and you can be churned, but you cannot live that way and go to heaven. Neither can the adulterer. Neither can those that commit sins and the egregious iniquities against God and their own soul. The Bible is very plain about it. Verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that there are no gods. I've mentioned many times from the pulpit the heart of God, how he feels about children and how we are messing up our children's little minds. That they don't know if they're a boy or a girl. And even though the plumbing is correct, the mind is corrupt. It's insanity. It's a devil that is deeply rooted in the psyche of man's mind. It's right there. And we listen to it Sunday after Sunday and service after service with these that stand up and bring us this propaganda, and we believe it. And there's no nation, wholesale national cry out to say, stop it. See, this is why I've got an issue. If somebody tells me that they're a believer and they're not doing anything and they have the power to stop it, I don't mean just little small political progress and a few little caveats and little small trinkets of political things. I'm talking about somebody would stand up and rip their garments and say, my God, we are dying and going to hell because of our sin. Stop the madness. We legislate everything else. Why don't we start legislating it as a crime? Why don't we start bringing back the laws of sodomy? Amen. You cowards. You're cowards. The laws are on the book, but we don't enforce them. We allow some unelected pontiffs, if you will, in robes tell us what is right and wrong, and the politicians go along with the tune. If you're really a Christian, you would stand up like Jehu. We can't find them today. He just said it. I looked in Jerusalem. I looked in the poor. I looked in the great. And I can't find anybody in righteousness. Very few preachers will stand up and say something. Very few Christians will say something. I'm telling you, in this period on to 2019, you all need to get bolder with your family. And if they get mad at you and shut the door for them. If they want to deny you and if they don't listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and pray for them and prophesy over them. But don't allow them to continue to lie their way into hell, because the truth will set them free. Declare and decree the truth, and don't be worried about what they say about you. Quit being afraid, Christian soldier. I'm telling you, it's time to get a backbone. It's time to say, well, that sounds mean and militant. No, that sounds Holy Ghost righteous and somebody that loves somebody enough that I'll take a bullet for you. I'll dive in front of you to keep you from falling off the cliff. I'll do everything I can to see you not split hell wide open. And if that hurts your feelings and you never talk to me again, then fine, so be it. Bye, but I love you and I'll pray for you from a distance. But you are not going to deny God in front of me without me telling you the truth. We better get bold this year, because I'm going to tell you something. You will stand before God. Each and every one of us will stand before God. And why didn't we tell them? Why didn't we warn them? I gave you all the power. I gave you authority. If you died, you'd go straight into my presence. If you were stricken, I'd heal you and raise you up and show a miracle in front of everybody. But we're too afraid. We're politically correct, made us petrified. Is anybody here? I'm going to use this media. I'm going to use everything God has given me to declare and decree this truth to the nations of the world. And we will get louder in 2019. We will expand in 2019 the things of media. You say, what if they shut you down? They can't stop a megaphone. I'll have Leon build me a perch and we'll stand up top here where a steeple is supposed to be at or whatever. And we'll speak the word of the Lord and we'll just keep preaching. And if need be, we'll go back to what we used to do, take CDs and litter the whole state with CDs. Is anybody here with me? What if they put you in jail? I'll write letters. Well, I just lost a bunch of friends right there. Did you say jail? Come on, folks. Come on, folks. We want apostolic power. We want apostolic signs and wonders, but we're not willing to go through the pain and persecution. We want all these things the Bible says that the first church had, but we're not willing to preach the truth and take a risk. Because we're cowardly. We're too comfortable in America. We have our stuff. We have things we're worried about. We have all these things we might lose. You've already lost it. You should be a dead man. You should be a walking dead person. You ain't going to take nothing with you. I don't care if they gave you a $5,000 suit. The worms will finish it off for you. That's pretty hard, preacher. It's going to get harder. It's going to get harder because we're in life and death. This isn't Kansas anymore, honey. You can't click your heels and go back to what used to be. You can't click your heels and go towards the future. It is a reality. It is an ever danger reality. It is what's happening right now. Are you still in the Bible? Or you already got your shopping list out? You better put my name in there. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me. And have sworn by them that they're no gods. I'm not castigating every child. Please don't get me wrong. I love children. I have some. I might buy some from Harvard before long. But I mean, I love generations. I love young people. I love all those things. But I'm telling you, we've lost our children to this millennial type of magical reality that's out there, this false reality, this virtual reality that makes them think that they're in this bubble and a cocoon, that nothing can happen to them and there's no responsibility, and on it goes. And we try to teach them how to live in that world instead of getting them into the reality of what the Word says and getting into the reality of what is out there and coming a day when you're not going to have your little video game. You ain't going to have your little pocket demon game. You're not going to have mom and dad to help you. The basement might flood out. You'll catch that later. You're not going to have all these different things. And the reality is that you're going to learn how to live. You're going to learn how to live right. You're going to have to learn how to do according to the Word of God and survive. But worse than all that, we have taught them how to reject God by our godless parents. Our parents that wanted to be buddies with their children. That was one of the biggest deceptions that ever came into parenting, and the guidelines from Dr. Spock and all those other weirdos that are out there trying to use philosophies of devils and get away from the Word of God. We trained our children the wrong way, and now they're murdering our own parents and grandparents. That's what we did. You do spoil the child if you spare the rod. You still in the Bible? I'm feeling good. This might be a two-parter. They've forsaken me, sworn that there are no gods. When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. I mean, they went by troops. It wasn't just a few folks. It was by troops. Now, this is speaking of idolatry, but when you have idolatry, you have adultery as well. It goes together. Fornication and witchcraft, it is the same. Why do you think all these satanic rituals always deal with naked people and orgies? Because that's the way of the devil. Everything gets polluted and perverted. What God called holy, they pervert it. He said, man, I fed you good. I took care of you, America. I gave you everything you needed. I blessed you. I kept the diseases at bay. I kept your country safe from your enemies. I blessed you in a prosperous way to where you could have a nice living and you could have homes and things. And I put you above as a candle on a hill. I made you as a lighthouse. You sent forth missionaries and I blessed you for their labor. You printed the Bible and sent it to the far-flung corners of the earth. And I blessed you as a nation. You gave through governmental aid food to those who are in starvation, devastation, and war. But the Lord says, you have turned your back on me. And because you turned your back on me, you caused yourself to go into whoredoms and idolatry like troops to a harlot's house. And now it's hard to find righteous men and women. It's hard to find men and women that will stay pure before God. I'm not talking about our past. I'm not talking about the things we made as mistakes. I'm talking about today. It amazes me. I hear Christians shacking up together. And everything's holy and righteous. And they go to church together. And everything's just wonderful. And they read their Bible. And they'll split hell wide open for fornicating. It's what the Bible says. I didn't write the Bible. I read it. You'll be surprised some Christian people that write posts and are on different platforms for Christianity and media are shacking up together and approve of it. And you listen to it. But you don't know because you don't want to know. All you have to do is find out. All you have to do is investigate. All you have to do is be a critical thinker and look into some things and listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you and quit following everybody that's out there. Can you give me a name? Nope. You do it yourself. See, that's what people want. They want the preacher to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. I'll only tell you if you need to know. Get some discernment about you. But it's the truth. Church of Jesus Christ, God's looking for holiness in us. He's looking for righteousness in us. I'm not saying it's easy being alone. I'm not saying it's easy in even our marriage and relationships. I'm just telling you this, that God is saying, I'm looking for truth and righteousness. Will faith be there when I come? Will I find people working on faith and relationships in faith, through faith, by faith? Will I find this happening when I return? Be careful of the whoredoms. Nation's in fever. I'm going to show it to you. Let me go on. I only got a few days to go. Verse 8. And they were as fed horses in the morning, and everyone nighed after his neighbor's wife. I mean, I'm telling you right there. The original Hebrew talks about the horse's lust. I don't know what your Bible says, but that's what the translation is. A horse's lust. That's America right there. That's America, right? They're burning with fever, burning with lust, burning with desire. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter. None of those things. They're going to hook up because you don't have enough strength to stay pure before God. I'm not castigating it again. I'm just giving you a reality of America. And it's not just the lonely person, the person who's single. It's even the married dude or dudette who can't keep their pants on because you're like a well-fed horse that's full of lust. I've never seen such a thing. I've never seen such on television, on movies, this whole thing. It's been bad for years. We know that. But it's gotten even worse, man. You can't even watch things. You hear about preachers more and more having relationships and leaving their marriages and all this craziness. We're in trouble, America. If it weren't so, I wouldn't be preaching. I wouldn't be harping on something that wasn't so. I wouldn't waste your time or my time or God's time. Recent survey came out that said that 54% of the pastors are hooked on pornography. They struggle with it. 54%. 60+% I think it's 62-64% of the youth pastors are struggling with pornography. That ain't a problem. That's an epidemic. One is too many, but 54%, that's more than half if my mind is right. And you know that it is. And we're wondering what's wrong. We're wondering what's wrong when our church is full of the fever of a lusting horse. God put these things inside of us. They are a natural part of humanity, but there's a thing called control, and there's modesty and purity and Holy Ghost power that will keep us from tripping up. I heard the Lord say it's not necessarily the problem that's the issue. It's not getting help for the problem. In other words, if God knows we're struggling, he'll help us if we'll help him. We will find the antidote if we go to him who is the healer. So don't think I'm preaching some backwoods old-time preaching stuff that doesn't understand compassion and grace, because I've sat where you sit right now. Can somebody say amen? That's why we get along so good. Verse 9. Sound like he's going to go do the whole chapter. I'm trying. Shall I not visit for these things? Saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Isn't God going to deal with America because of our sin? Yes. And he's dealing with it now. And we have people who stand up and say, it's not so. It's not going to happen. God is not going to judge us. God is not judging us. We're going through a cycle. We're having a little bit of a hiccup. You know, it's a political thing. If we just give the entity in the White House just another 4 more years, another opportunity, we're going to see things turned around. No, we will not. We're at the point of no return. God is judging us. Recently, a book has been released called Shout Your Abortion. Recently, a friend of the ministry sent it to me in an email. The headline, Shout Your Abortion. Now we have books being written that celebrate the abortions, and people are writing in, and it's a compilation, if you will, of stories and testimonies of having an abortion, and now we're celebrated in America. That ought to be banned. You're going to ban the Bible in California, you ought to ban that from every single bookstore in America, but we won't. Too much money to be made. Are you here? The insanity. We're going to promote it. We're going to write a book like it's a celebratory thing. We're going to just talk about the greatness of destroying a child. See, we're at rock bottom. We're at rock bottom. I don't know how many preachers will get on the television station. Y'all tell me. Let me know in the next week or two if you ever hear anything about this and somebody get a backbone. Let me know about the radio stations too. Find me a preacher that is standing up talking about these things so I can high-five them and say, praise God, keep on going. I'll be praying for you. No, you'll find them on YouTube. You'll find them on the back alley of media, where their views and their numbers are so small compared to the multiplied millions that listen to these knuckleheads. I'm feeling pretty good. Let me move on. Verse 10, go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away the battlements, for there they are not the Lord's. The battlements, this is really interesting. I was reading this and I saw the battlements and immediately I thought of the defenses of a nation, which is true. But it also speaks of the parapets that were made upon the houses of the rooftops of Israel and along the walls of Israel. And what they were was a vine type of bush that was designed to keep people from falling off the side of the roof. It was a defense, but it was to keep people from falling down. He said that these are not my battlements. In other words, these things, these firewalls, these things that we built to keep ourselves safe will not keep us safe any longer. I'm going to tell you, we'll keep you safe, truth. I'm going to tell you what will keep safe. Keep you safe is keep praying in your home and reading the Bible and pleading the blood of Jesus over you and going to a Holy Ghost-filled church where the preacher is preaching truth. That's your parapet. That's your battlement right there. I got to move on. Verse 11, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see the sword of the famine, and the prophet shall become wind. Everybody say windbag. Here's what the translation is. In their mind, because they did not believe judgment was coming, that all the prophets who spoke judgment were nothing more than noise. They were windbags. The people that write to us and people who say things against this ministry and others who preach truth and warn, they look at them and they say, that's a bunch of noise, man. Look, the birds are still chirping. The chemtrails are still up in the air. I mean, everything's still going on as normal. We still can slide the EBT. We can still get our money out of the ATM. Everything is as always. Watch what he says to them. Listen to me, America. And the prophet shall become wind, in other words, noise, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. In other words, they said, I don't believe your prophets are a bunch of wind, a bunch of noise. They're distracting me from my party. They're distracting me from what I'm doing. They're causing all kinds of clutter around my mind. And nothing that they said will happen. But he said, it will be done unto them. There's coming a justifying day, folks. Verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. Everybody say fire. And this people would, and it shall devour them. You better watch what you say against the prophets. You better watch what you say against those that love God with all their heart and they're speaking out of the sincerity of their heart to warn people. You better be careful what you say about holiness preachers and preachers who love God and Christians who love God, because I'm telling you, what you sow, you shall reap. Many years ago, the Lord showed me a concept called the boomerang of God. You better watch that boomerang. You better love one another, your brothers and sisters, and keep your tongue off them. Because what you sow is definitely going to come back to you. I didn't say it. God said it. Verse 15, lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, is a mighty nation, is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandeth what they say. Don't have time to go into the invasion of our country. It's already started in many different ways, but the reality and the totality of it is coming. When foreign nations will take over this country, when we are in the wreck and ruin and the ashes of yesterday, as we struggle to stand up, it will be too late. Why, preacher? Because of our sin, because of our iniquity, because of the craziness that is going on in the world. Let me read to you a quick article. I will give you a couple more scriptures, and I'm going to get out of your way because you got to go home and play with your Black Friday junk. And you only got about another 60 days before you break it. Just about the time the return policy is over. 35-year-old man. This is over in Tokyo. Crazy folk are everywhere, amen. 35-year-old man in Tokyo just married a virtual hologram teenage girl. I'm going to digress with some humor till I hit you and leave you. He married a hologram. Now, for those of you who live in the woods, a hologram is something that you put onto the wall. It is a virtual reality. It's like a screen, if you will, that is, it shows a person that's not real. Got me now? It's like the viewfinder when you was a kid. Let's go that far back. Remember Fisher Price? And you was in the ocean, but you wasn't in the ocean? Well, when you don't have your brain on right and you're full of the devil, you're going to marry that viewfinder. Is that a pretty good illustration? But the reality is this. He's 35 years old. Let me read the rest of this. You're not going to believe me. This is not a joke. It took the shape of a 16-year-old girl with long turquoise ponytails. She sings, has a voice as a synthesizer, has over 100,000 songs. Is a digital character. Despite strong disapproval and complete embarrassment from his family, you think so? I'm not even going to read the guy's name because I can't. I'll read his last name, Kondo. Kondo married this hologram in Tokyo, Kondo in Tokyo, on November 4th, the wedding which cost over $18,000. I need some drywall finished over in the educational building. That will come in handy instead of marrying some type of pocket demon. $18,000, and there were 40 guests that came to the whole program. The light inside of this 2-foot-high, $2,800 Amazon Echo type of device projects the bride into an image. But of course, she couldn't be there. So it was represented by a cat-sized stuffed doll. If you go look this up, you're going to see this Kondo dude at an $8,000 wedding holding a stuffed cat doll, pledging his love and fidelity to this stuffed thing. Are you here with me, folks? Now, please go back in your brain 10 years ago, 10 days ago. Go back in your mind, and when have you heard such a stupid story? When have you heard something so crazy? This is the world. We have gone over into the abyss. We have lost our brains. We have lost our minds that now we're marrying a viewfinder. Watch this. Here's what he says. Listen, this is what he says. This is the mindset. By the way, he's 35, so he makes our millennial group just about in that area. While he acknowledged the traditional path to marriage, that the shape of happiness and love is different for each person. There definitely is a template for happiness where a real man and woman get married and have a child and live all together. But I don't believe such a template can necessarily make everybody happy. That's why we're having sex robots and sex dolls and sex spas and all these things starting to pop up around the world, including in America. And we have all this craziness because we have gone to bed with the devil. We've lost our minds. We've lost our brains. We've lost the sanctity, the purity of life. Let me finish up with a few more scriptures as you try to scramble that in your brain. What'd you learn in church today? Well, all I can remember is a guy married a viewfinder. Wow. I need to come visit that church. You ain't going to hear no preacher talking about this. They ain't going to talk about how awesome they are. Just like the president said, what are you thankful about Christmas? Me. And Thanksgiving? Me. How many of y'all heard that? Some of y'all didn't even hear it. Where do y'all live at? Watch this, verse 24. I'm going to get out of here. I mean, what are you thankful about Thanksgiving? Literally stands up, I'm thankful for myself and what we've done for this nation. Let's seek in just for a minute. And you're a Christian? No, there he goes again. Verse 24, watch this. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in a season. He receiveth unto us as the appointed weeks of the harvest. He's telling them, don't you count on having your perfect seasons of festivals and your rain and the weather perfect. Don't you begin to think that everything's going to be normal in order for you to have a perfect harvest, because it is not. Folks, I'm telling you, this is exactly the template, the overlay of America. The weather is crazy because of our sin and our iniquity, and there will not be a harvest like we think there will be. There'll be not the festivals that we think that we are enjoying and that we have the rights to enjoy. God is dealing with America. I told the church, I told anybody to listen to me, that there would be a disaster and stock market disaster. You are watching a disaster in the stock market and the economy. It is a slow bleed. It is a slow drainage, and you are watching it virtually with your own eyes. Just the other day, the Dow completely erased all the gains for 2018. So much for all the hoopla and how big we are and how great we are. And now the president is blaming other people. When the reality is, it never was great, it never will be great, and we're in the midst of a slide. But we didn't want to hear it. Black Friday wasn't all so well either. Right now, fast food companies are suffering. They're starting to have a decline. Things are not as good as everybody says they are. 26% of Americans are still paying for last year's Christmas. Is anybody with me? 26% of Americans are still paying for last year's Christmas, and I bet you most of those things probably don't work. Most of those gifts you gave to people probably don't talk to you no more. But we fall into the trap every year. I got to buy because I got people. I want them to love me. I want them to be impressed with me. I just want to show them. My wife told me there was a report that the average amount of money that an American will spend this Christmas is $1,000. Don't spend $1,000. Write your check out to Ignited Church, P.O. Box 303, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. I'll tell you what we'll do with it. Is anybody here? Get some mud, sheetrock. We're going to do something with it. Now watch this. I said I'm going to go, but I mean it this time. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Did I not just tell you that? 25 answers 24, don't it? It usually works that way. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. That's why we're seeing the economy doing what it's doing. That's why we're watching all these things happening around us. And by the way, you cannot allow the murder and the shed blood of somebody by a foreign power like Saudi Arabia and not have any type of repercussions against those in authority. And we just overlook it because of a $450 million or billion dollar, I don't know which one it is, but it's quite a lot of money, deals and contracts that wash away the blood of the innocent, and God not look at that and say, I'm going to deal with you. It's crimes against humanity, and our government has overlooked it as it has overlooked it through the decades. And God is going to deal with it in the coming days. There's more for you to read that I don't have time, because you look like you got to go somewhere. But I'm telling you, we've been snake bitten, and we're in big trouble. Say, Pastor, what's the cure? The antidote is Christ. It's the truth. It's the Bible. It's getting into the Word of God. It's getting around Christians who love the truth. They're not perfect, but get around them that love God. Turn off these charlatans on these programs. Get alone with the Father. Let him speak to you and fall in love with Jesus Christ. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's a day of salvation. Now's the time to get right. All you have to do is give your heart to him, confess your sins, and believe that he died on the cross. He was born of a virgin birth, and all the truths in the Bible. and you'll be born again. The Bible declares that your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're backslidden, you know you're backslidden, today's the day to get it right. Don't wait for somebody else to bring you to the altar. Make the altar right now where you are and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's never too late. Father, we love you. Thank you for the message today. Bless everybody listening. Thank you. Make it go as far and as wide as you want it to go. We're just here to serve you, Jesus, and we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. See you Wednesday.